Welcome to the podcast of Focus 580, featuring interviews with newsmakers and experts on international affairs and daily life, hosted by David Inge at WILL Radio, Urbana, Illinois. Please support this service by becoming a member and visit us on the web at will.uiuc.edu.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you listening. Well, if you have ever tried to lose weight and maintain the weight loss that you had, you know that can be very difficult. These days, there's certainly no shortage of diet plans available. You go into any bookstore, you'll find a whole bunch of books with different kind of approaches that are designed to help people lose weight. And chances are, for everybody, there's something that will work. You can find a diet that will make it possible for you to lose weight. The big catch here is that in many cases, they're not diets that you can stay on forever. And if people then go back to doing just what they did before, chances are that weight is going to come back. This morning in this part of the show, we have some suggestions on an approach that a lot of people have found helpful when it comes to losing weight. And our guest for the show is Sally Squires. She is a health reporter for The Washington Post. She has a master's degree in nutrition from Columbia University and writes a nationally syndicated column with The Post. And part of the column is dedicated to information about healthy diet and weight loss. And a lot of people have been helped by her column. And now that basic approach is available in a book form. And the title of the book is Secrets of the Lean Plate Club. It is published by St. Martin's Press and has a lot of information on how to lose weight in a healthy kind of a way and maintain that weight loss. It has information on nutrition. It also has some recipes. And I think that a lot of people would find it very helpful. So you might go down to the bookstore and take a look at it. And of course, questions here are welcome. That's what the show is all about. We're pleased to have Sally Squires talking with us. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's the one here for the local folks, people who are listening around Illinois and Indiana. Actually, even if you would happen to be listening on the internet, as long as you're in the United States, you can use our toll-free line as well. And that is 800-222-9455. Locally, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Ms. Squires, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and yourself?
I'm very well. It's a beautiful day in Washington.
Well, it's a really nice day here, too, as well. So nice, I would even rather be home cutting my grass than that. But I'm happy to be talking to you. So.
And that would be activity, which is a good thing.
And it would be a good thing, yeah. And also, I should mention, we want to say thanks to the folks at the Washington Post for helping us to have this high-quality connection here with Sally Squires, because it sounds almost like she's here with me, but no, in fact, she's here. She's in Washington.
This is the beauty of technology.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that the essential point here does go to this issue of people approach weight loss and they do it in the way that says, well, I've got some kind of a plan. I'm going to do this for a while. I'm going to lose the weight and that's that. And I think that the point that you make is that you can't really, if you want to lose weight and also maintain that weight and essentially to be healthy, you can't do it that way. It has to be a much larger kind of a change in not only what you eat, but how you live your life. And if you do that, then your chances of long-term success and also maintaining, now getting to the weight where you want to be and maintaining that are going to be better than if you do something that is a vast departure from your ordinary way of living and your ordinary diet, because you just can't keep a lot of those things. You just can't do them forever.
That's absolutely right. And one of the things, I started this column, which is called the Lean Plate Club. I started it 5 years ago. I do have that master's degree in nutrition from Columbia's Institute of Human Nutrition. And I'd written through the years on nutrition. But when we started this column, we realized that an awful lot of times we were telling readers, you know, don't do this or don't do that, rather than thinking of all the things that they could add to their lives the healthy food, the activity that would really be fun, you know, to make themselves healthier. And we really don't use the word diet. And in fact, in the first few years of the column, we banned that and also the word don't, because we wanted to really just give this very positive approach of, you know, again, all the things that you can add to your life rather than thinking in that kind of restrictive, onerous, awful way of, oh, I'm going to be deprived, I'm going to be hungry, but it'll be for this period of time, and then I'll go back to my regular old habits, and of course, everything then goes back the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So we thought that the more educated we can make consumers about what are the smart foods to eat, what are the ways to stay active, and without, you know, going to the gym is fantastic, but I don't know what your day is like, but I know what my day is like, and a lot of people have just come from Atlanta where, my gosh, they spend hours commuting, and if you add that on top of a busy work day and a family, it really becomes tough, so we have to be smarter about how we do these healthy habits.
Yeah. I think right up front you make a number of really basic points. There are a lot of them. I suppose we could talk a long time about any of them. But one thing that just to me stands out, and I think probably it's an important thing, and I'm sure that you try to get it across to people, is the idea that if you have gained weight, this didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen
That's
over
right.
a period of days or weeks or months. You know, this is something that it may seem to you like that, but it didn't happen like that. So not only did it not come that way, it's not going to go overnight. So you got to be realistic in terms of your goal for how it is you want to get to the, how long you want to take to get to the point where you want to be.
That's right. And I think what happens to people is that, one, when they do wake up and realize that this weight has crept on, and for most people it does, because just an extra 100 calories a day, you know, which is, that's less than what's in a skim milk latte. 100 calories a day adds up, if you do that every single day, that adds up to 10 pounds a year. And that's really, you know, not very, those aren't very many calories. So you can see how easy it is for this weight to creep on. And but by the same token, the good news is, the flip side of that is that small, sustainable changes can make a big difference. And we see that week after week after week on both the column, and then there's a we've tried to make this an interactive book because there is a weekly web chat that I host on Tuesdays, and we give away prizes, and we have a kind of a virtual community that has sprung up, and it's available. People can leave questions if they can't join live. And then there's also an email newsletter that also reinforces and gives lots of tools to people. And again, this is all free and it's all available. And we just, you know, it's again to help people when they do make that realization, holy cow, where did this weight come from? That the instinct is to say, I want it off and I want it off now. But if you can do it in a more sustained, kind of longer way, the habits that you develop are the ones that will likely help you to keep that weight off long term.
Yeah. And I think that, let me ask you this again, sort of a basic question, because there's certainly a lot of reporting now in the media about the fact that as a nation, it seems we're above our ideal or healthy weights. And there we know that being overweight is a risk factor for all kinds of things, for diabetes and for heart disease and a number of other things. And if you ask this question, well, what has happened? How is it that America seems to have gotten heavier than we should be? People give a lot of different answers. And some people might say, well, we're just eating too much. Some people might say, well, we're not as active as we should be. Some people would say it's more of an issue, not so much of how much we eat, but the quality of those calories. You know, where do those calories come from? Where do a lot of those calories come from? Fat? Is it we're eating too much fast food? Is it all of that?
It is all of that. And if there was one scientist who had pinpointed the exact cause, they'd be on their way to Stockholm right now for the Nobel Prize. So it is absolutely all of that. And just think of your day. I mean, I can think of mine. When I first came to Washington as a reporter, we went outside the building to press conferences. We walked to the library to pick up clips. We had a phone that, you know, it was push button, but it, you know, it didn't do all the fancy things. things that happen now. We went to the front desk to get messages instead of emails. They didn't exist. You know, there were so many things that we've engineered into our lives and engineered activity out. So you really have to be conscious about being more active. And we were talking, I just came from a big international conference on physical activity that was sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. And we were talking that even if you go to the gym every day faithfully and you make, you know, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you can fit in, odds are for the other 22 hours of your day, you're probably pretty sedentary. And if you don't believe me, wear a pedometer and track your steps. And if you have 7,000 or less steps, you're pretty much sedentary. And if you're above that, then you're at least getting some activity. And for weight loss, the recommendation is about 10,000 steps. But we just, you know, people don't take the stairs. They, you know, and there's kind of an inactivity momentum, I think, that overtakes us all. So there's that. And then you're absolutely right about the food, that one, it's, we've never had more food available in more places, and it's never been okay to eat in more places, in our cars, at our desks, you know, all kinds of places except maybe at our dining table. And then often that food is fast and high calorie, and that might be dense in fat or it might be dense in sugar, but it's, you know, it's just readily available. And often the cheaper foods are the ones that are the highest in calories, and that's, you know, why it, for some people who are watching their budget, can make, you know, although I believe that you can eat very, very well on a little amount of money, but I think it's, the tendency is to go into these fast food places and grab and go, and you don't always make great choices.
Yeah. Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580 is Sally Squires. She has a master's degree in nutrition from Columbia University and is an award-winning, nationally syndicated columnist for The Washington Post. She is the author of the newly published book, Secrets of the Lean Plate Club. That's published by St. Martin's Press, and has information here to help people get to their healthy weight and maintain that weight. And questions are welcome about this or about nutrition, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We were really struck by a story that we came across the other day, and actually I think this was published in The Post, about a study that was done by the Pew Research Center about people's attitudes about weight. And apparently the study found that 9 out of 10 adults surveyed, and that was a little earlier this spring, 9 out of 10 said most of their fellow Americans were overweight. However, only 39% thought they were overweight. So somehow these numbers just don't add up. Yeah, it's the other guy looking at other people saying, phew, that guy could stand to lose a few pounds. But me, I'm doing okay. So maybe that gets at the question. And sometimes I think people are confused about what is supposed to be a healthy weight, and how do we figure out whether we are over ideal weight and how much we're over ideal weight.
Well, there's a tool called the Body Mass Index, which uses a calculation that I won't bore you with, but it basically replaced, if you're, I don't know if you're old enough to remember that at one point we had metropolitan life insurance tables that basically told men and women at, you know, various body builds what they should weigh. Mm. And there was, I think there was a small, a medium, and a large frame for both men and women. And we kind of got rid of that and moved to the Body Mass Index, which takes into account both height and weight and puts men and women together. And so ideally, the ideal weight for most people, and there's actually, if you go to, there are a lot of online electronic tools, and I can give you slowly the website, or we can perhaps post it on yours later, but it's at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. If you Google that, and look for the Body Mass Index calculator, it'll do all this number, these numbers for you. Ideally, we want to be somewhere between 18, a body mass index of 18 and 24.9. That's a healthy range. Above that, to about 27 is, or a little bit higher, is overweight. And then if you get to 30 and higher, that's obese. Now, what does that translate to in pounds? Because those numbers sound, you know, kind of numerous, what can we say? But basically, for overweight people, they're anywhere from about 10 to 20, 25 pounds overweight, which isn't that terrible if you think about trying to reduce that weight. Go back to that number of 100 fewer calories every day. It could, you know, you get could get, help you lose about 10 pounds during the year. And so within about a year, you if you're just doing cutting out about 100 calories, that could be if you're drinking a diet or a regular soda in the afternoons, that could be cutting that out. And by the end of that year, you could be down to where you want to be. And so that's really without trying. If you really want to work at this, then, and we give, in the Secrets of the Lean Plate Club, lots of tools to help you know what would be the right range for you to aim for, to lose weight gradually. And are you an emotional eater? Is that one of the problems that happens? And a lot of other questions to ask yourself to kind of take stock of where you are and what you could do. But, and there is also with the body mass index, there's been some question about racial differences. So there is some discussion that for people of Asian descent, it may be that they will have to be at slightly lower body mass indexes to be considered overweight or obese, and that's because the way they happen to accumulate fat. And likewise, for African Americans, they may be able to be at slightly higher body mass indexes before they reach those levels. But for the time being, what we have are those numbers that I've just told you. And again, if you want to check out what yours is, you can go to a lot of different sites on the internet, and they will do the calculations for you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, here I have my computer in front of me, and into the search engine, I just typed body mass index. Those three words, and the first thing that came up is the website here of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And
your tax dollars at work, the way is what we'd like to say.
And it's so that's the if people want to do it and they have internet access, all you got to do is do that, and we'll go right there. And here's the calculator, and all you have to do is put in your height and your weight, and click, and it'll figure it out for you.
That's right. And that's the other thing that is really wonderful. We've tried to make this book very interactive. So while it's a paper book, I mean, it's a paper bound book, hardback, but it's on paper, that there are so many ways to help in this effort that are now available electronically. So in the book, I tried to put lots of tools that are free and available to help you track exercise, to help you track your calories, to help you figure out if you have a recipe that you like to make, how many calories and what the nutrients are that are actually in it, and also to interact with this growing community of Lean Plate Club members. It's really a virtual community, but we really help each other in this effort because it is something. I mean, if it were easy, we wouldn't have 2/3 of the population who being overweight and obese right now, and 17% of our children and adolescents. So there are some easy steps to take, but sometimes you need a little bit of support. So it gives a lot of ways to interact with all of us in helping to get that support and to, you know, get inspired, find interesting food finds or, you know, additional recipes and just, you know, creative ways to be active.
All right. Well, we have a caller here to talk with, and I want to introduce again our guest, Sally Squires. She works for the Washington Post. She's a health reporter there, has a syndicated column. She is also author of this newly published book, which is titled Secrets of the Lean Plate Club, and it's published by St. Martin's Press. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And here's a caller to start us off in Champaign, and it's line one. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
I would like to ask your guest about teenagers. My daughter is 13 years old, and she's 180 pounds, and she's gaining weight like daily basics. She eats too much, and it's very hard when it's a teenager because she just doesn't want to quit eating. Same time, she's very self-conscious about her weight. She's tall, but I mean not that tall, 5'6". She's very self-conscious, and she's having a lot of problems. She eats something like same amount between my husband and I. She eats by herself. What we can do with a teenager like that is a diet. She doesn't like exercise. That's another problem. What can you advise me?
Well, you're going to love, if you have internet access, you're going to love something that we're doing right now on the Lean Plate Club. We've spent this month doing a family challenge. Yes. And one of the things that has happened is that a lot of families don't eat together. And you're right, it's very hard when a teenager, wants to spend less and less time with mom and dad. But there are actually studies that have been done at the University of Minnesota of teens. And one of the things that they did find is that they may seem resistant to eating with you, but if you can make it a family meal, that's one of the best ways that you can start your daughter on some healthier habits. The other thing that we are doing in this family challenge, so one of the things we're doing is encouraging people to eat together. We've supplied some 5 easy recipes that anybody can make, whether you like to cook or not, and a shopping list, and it's all on our website at leanplateclub.com. And we're following 5 families who are going through exactly what you're saying. They want it. Some of them are doing really well in exercise and others not so well on what they're eating and vice versa. And they're all trying to do this a little bit better. And so we've established some really simple steps. And the first week is just to add fruit and vegetables, which is very much what we also recommend in the book, that just making these really small changes. So if your daughter doesn't like, if you think she doesn't like fruit and vegetables, there are a lot of hidden fruit and vegetables that kids will eat and they don't even realize it. And they include hummus and salsa and a little bit of guacamole and bean burritos and tomato soup and, things that will help them add in some of these lower calorie foods that will make them feel fuller. If you can do things together as a family and you can encourage your daughter perhaps to go shopping with you, I don't know if she's experiencing any weight related health problems, but if she is, you might ask for a referral.
So. She had a time that she was throwing up, and I really believe she was forcing herself. I hope she quit. But
yes,
we have a new problem. We do eat together as a family.
Okay. Okay.
She's very good eater. She eats any kind of veggies or some everything. But if we have anything left over, half hour after we have dinner, the food is gone. I mean, if
yes.
I get lunch meat for all week, her sandwich for the school, they are going very fast because she eat it. I don't know if I have to hide the food or. You know what I mean? She wasn't like that. Until she was 11 years old, she was a normal thing. But now it's just for 1 week to another week, she get 2 or 3 pounds very easily. And
right.
I'm concerned about her health, of course.
Sure. And that is a concern because among these 17% of children, that's a brand new study from the Centers for Disease Control that has shown that, your daughter is not alone in this, and there's great concern about, early type 2 diabetes, which we never used to see in kids or very, very rarely, and a lot of other health problems. So, but you're saying some things that make me concerned too, and if you think that she is starting to purge or do some things that would put her into an eating disorder, then it sounds like you may want to consult with your physician as well and try to get perhaps a referral to a registered dietitian. If you go to the American Dietetics Association, their website is eatright.org, and they will help you find a registered dietitian online. You might also go, the government has a very good site called MyPyramid.gov, and that's another site that you could perhaps work through with your daughter to look at maybe some healthy choices. And you'll find a lot of healthy choices in Secrets of the Lean Plate Club, where you could find some, what would be some of the smart things to help your daughter try to choose. But it sounds like you've got a lot of things going on, and you may be at a point where you need to get a little bit of reinforcements.
Oh, yes. This is the last thing. I don't want to take too much of your time. But other thing, if we ask her don't eat that much or we try to hide the food or something, she gets so angry.
Yes.
So out of control is just...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all. That's all. It's just very hard because if she gets so angry, she say, I'm hungry. I say, maybe
right.
You feel some feeling. No, I'm
and
hungry.
She,
I need it.
She may well be hungry for a whole lot of reasons, and it may have to do with real hunger, or it may have to do with other things that are going on in a teenager's life. But if you can do any activity together, even a walk after dinner together, or if
you, she doesn't like, go out.
She doesn't like to do that. If you could set up a contract with her that might be a reward, and it might be really simple, maybe the first day, and this is one of the things we're doing on the Family Challenge, you just get her to walk with you for 5 minutes. That's it. And if she does that, that you would set up something that she could do, maybe a manicure or,
you and she could,
you know, so that you, again, you give her the carrot, not the stick, and you really reward her for doing, you know, moving towards these better habits. You might find if she's got a friend who would like to be active, that's another way to try to encourage teens to you know, do things together, because it is harder and harder to do things with mom and dad.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, and I wish you luck, and join us on the web chat, and we'll give you more ideas.
Sure, I will.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for the call. Mm-hmm. Well, again, our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Sally Squires. She is a nationally syndicated columnist with The Washington Post. And if you're looking for some advice and some help on losing weight, you can look for this book that we have talked about, Secrets of the Lean Plate Club. Also, if you have Internet access, you can go to the website, which is leanplateclub.com, right?
.com.
Okay.
Right.
And there's a lot of information there about nutrition, and that is free. It doesn't cost you anything to go onto the website. And questions here are free as well. If you want to call in, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And we have someone up here ready to go in Urbana, line two. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to ask you a question about muscle weight. Because you mentioned when you do the body mass index that, you know, you calculate your height and your weight. But I used to work out in the gym, and I was lifting weights, and so I built up muscles in my arms. And the trainer there said that muscle weight weighs more than fat. So, like, when you lift weights, you gain weight, but you lose inches or something like that.
So
I was just curious about how to factor in muscle weight in the body mass index.
And that's a common question, and it is true that one of the criticisms of the body mass index has been that, particularly for elite athletes, people like Cal Ripken, are in really great shape and do have a lot of muscle, that they may appear to be overweight and possibly even in the early stages of obesity, when it is the BMI is actually catching their, you know, those muscles that they have, which do weigh a little bit more than fat.
Right.
But for most of us, the body mass index is really, it is giving us a pretty good snapshot. And it is true that it's wonderful to build muscles, and that's something that too many of us don't do. But mostly, you can't usually, if you're seeing that you're overweight or obese according to the BMI, and you're continuing to gain weight, then, you know, things are probably not just due to the muscles, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's also true that as people cycle through weight loss and then weight regain, that often when they regain that weight, they're regaining much more fat than they are. They don't usually regain muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's one measure. It's not the end all and be all, but I can say that throughout the population, generally, it points in the direction that is probably accurate.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank
sure.
you. And other questions, again, are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I suspect that there are many people who have no idea how many calories they consume every day. I mean, I'm sure I don't. I couldn't tell you. Is that something that's important to try to figure out?
It can be. And I think that particularly if you're trying to reach a healthier weight, and notice I didn't say diet, I said reach a healthier mm-hmm. weight, that if you don't know, it's kind of like not knowing what your bank account is and trying to do a budget, that if you could easily overspend without realizing it. So tracking what you eat, even if you don't want to do it every day, if you're at least trying to establish healthier habits, it's just a really smart thing to do. And so because in doing that, and what I usually recommend is that you might just do it for a few days and not change your eating habits at all and just really get a snapshot of what is it that you're eating. And a lot of people are very surprised because particularly when you're cooking or more and more in offices, you will find, you know, that there's just plenty of food that people are bringing in to share. And it's a little cookie here and it's a little drink there and it's a little this, you know, bag of chips in the afternoon. And it really can add up fast. So if you can keep food records for just a few days to see where you are, and then that will show you places where you can really make improvements. And there are wonderful tools, again, online that will calculate all of this for you, and they range from mypyramid.gov, which is again your tax dollars at work, to a lot of free sites that are also listed in the book, and we'll do the calculations and tell you how much protein and how much fat and how much cholesterol and sodium and all those things that you've done. And they're very easy to use. Some of them can be downloaded to your PDAs, and it's just a really nice way to kind of keep track of what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's also a thing that I'm sure that people find really confusing. It's even going beyond, even figuring up what your total caloric intake is for a day, but then to sort of figure out, okay, now how much, where are those calories coming from? And I guess a particular concern would be how many calories from fat are people getting every day?
Right. How many calories from fat? But also remember that one of the new trends that we've had is that healthy fat is a good thing. And that's, again, something that you could add. So we definitely want to reduce trans fat, which is the really unhealthy fat that's found in most fried foods. And since January, you can go to the grocery store and you can see on food labels what you're getting in terms of trans fat. But at restaurants and at fast food establishments, you're not going to know for the most part unless you want to log on to some of their websites and look. When I was in Atlanta, I picked up a sandwich from a coffee shop, and I thought I made a pretty healthy choice, and for the most part I did. But when I opened it and looked at the label on the back, it not only had more calories than I thought, it was a chicken sandwich, but it had 540 calories, which was more than I really did want to eat at that time, and it also had 1.5 grams of trans fat, which had I known that, would I have bought it? I might have, because I knew my trans fat level was pretty low for the day. But trans fat is something that we definitely want to avoid as much as possible. It really increases the risk of heart disease. And more recently, it looks like it may also increase the risk of diabetes. The other two fats to avoid are saturated fat. And that's the kind of stuff that you find in, you know, the chicken skin or in butter or in the fatty parts of meat. And then there's also cholesterol, and that's in egg yolks or organ meats. But there are so many wonderful healthy fats to replace them with. So that's avocados and the oil that's in fish and olive oil and safflower oil and walnut oil and nuts and, you know, just all kinds of good things that you can replace this with. So, and again, you can't eat too much of it because they're dense in calories. You get about 120 calories per tablespoon of these oils. But the latest dietary guidelines actually recommend that people add these healthy fats because they have so many good ingredients in them.
Yeah. I also want to have you talk a little bit about carbohydrates, because it's another thing that people, I'm sure, are confused about. And we remember that within recent years, some of the most popular weight loss plans were severely restricted carbs, and much to the displeasure of people who make bread and pasta and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know, the bakeries that people there were just, you know, I'm sure a lot of places where they made wonderful bread and artisanal stuff, and they were just tearing their hair out because now people are being told, oh, you can't eat bread. Well, that's faded a little bit, so I'm hoping that the bread and the pasta makers haven't, you know, have kept their heads above water, and because now people are saying, well, maybe it's okay to have bread again. But I think people are still really confused about carbs, about what they are, where they come from, which are good and which are bad, and, you know, how to think about that component of your diet.
There is huge confusion over this, and carbohydrate confusion is what we could call it. And we also talk a lot on the Lean Plate Plate Club about cleaning up your carbs. And again, in the book, there are lots of ways to do that. The best way, one of the best ways to get healthy carbs, and I think that Atkins and even South Beach taught us one thing, and particularly Atkins, that if there's a message to take home from Atkins, it was that way too many of us were eating way too many processed carbs. And that's not a good thing. And processed carbs are the things that, you know, have very little fiber, very little whole grains, and you know, have most of the good stuff taken out of the flour. So we learned that lesson. But I think we also went way too far the wrong way. And the healthy carbs that you can start with are fruit and vegetables. Those are filled with healthy carbohydrates, and they come in their own packages and great flavors and textures, and it's just a wonderful thing. And I think they're not the foods that most people think of. And despite the fact that some, you know, fad diets have demonized watermelon and pineapple and white potatoes and white rice, that all those foods can have a place in a healthy diet if you eat them in, you know, in smart ways. So, but of course, whole grains that we are also now advised to eat 3 servings of include brown rice and whole grain cereals and those wonderful whole grain breads. What I love right now is that we can even get whole grain white bread, which is a favorite of a lot of kids, and it's made from whole grain white winter wheat, and you can get it at King Arthur, make some flour, and you can make your own, or Wonder Bread and Sara Lee now have whole grains, and they truly are whole grains, as well as the red wheat that is more traditional from a lot of different breads. But there are some favorite foods, you know, Cheerios, and in particular, you get the unsweetened Cheerios, and that's a whole grain. Oatmeal is a whole grain. Wild rice is a whole grain. Brown rice is a whole grain. I make brown rice in my oven every week and then put it in little packages and have it in the freezer and pull it out, and I'm ready to go. It makes the house, when I cook it, smell wonderful, and it's just a really easy thing to do.
Yeah. A friend of mine just recently introduced me to this white whole wheat flour, and I think that it's a great thing. And I have used it, for example, I've used it to make pasta, mixed half and half with you got to mix it half and half with all-purpose flour. And yet it, you know, and the result was very, I thought it was very good. It was not like if, and now actually there are a lot of good manufactured dried pastas that are whole grain. And if it's been a long time since someone tried whole wheat pasta, you know, if the last time they tried it was in 1976, they should try it again, because the products are much better now. They're very good. And if you've had a bad experience with whole grain pastas, say try again, because I would bet that you might not even be able to tell the difference.
That's right. And here's another way that people can mix and match. If you want to try whole grain bread or whole grain pasta, you don't have to do it all at once. You know, you can do just what, I mean, that's a wonderful idea. What you've done is mix and match. And I'm sure that's for consistency, but you can take that same idea and you can translate it to, if you're trying to slowly move from a more processed cereal to a less processed one, you might do, you know, half and half. Or you might make your kids, you know, tell them, and it's a fun sandwich that has one slice of white and one slice of whole wheat. And so you can gradually make these changes. Same thing with milk. You know, a lot of people, they have a hard time moving down to skim milk. And so one thing that you can do is just slowly change the percentages and, you know, add in a little bit of skim and to whole or 2% and to just gradually decrease it. And you get used to it very, you know, easily. And there's no rush. You can do it at whatever pace you want. And again, just make these small changes that are sustainable, and, you know, they don't have to be onerous, and you can enjoy them.
Yeah. Well, let's talk with some other folks here. Someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I've lived out of the country on 4 occasions, and every time I've left, I've lost weight, and every time I've come back, I've put weight back on. And I think I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on a couple of things. One is the culture, the way that culture here encourages us to eat more than we would. We have all these opportunities for snacking during the day that just don't seem to present themselves in other countries. And then the other thing is the built environment, because when I've been in other countries, I've done a lot more walking and it's just naturally incorporated itself into my daily life. Whereas here, so much of my transportation is in the car, and I have to really make an effort to actually exercise. So I think those are the two main things that have contributed to that trend for me. So I will hang up and listen to what you have to say offline.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Great. Well, those are, you know, very astute observations, and you're not alone in having this experience. In fact, we know that as other cultures move to the United States, that they do get fatter, you know, and they do put on weight, and that's really across the board. And it's true. We have, you know, I've been on panels with restaurant owners, and they say that one of the reasons people eat out is they want value for their meal, and so we have these huge portions, and it's very difficult when you eat those huge portions not to gain weight unless you're an Olympic athlete. So you're absolutely right that these are things we have to be conscious of, and it's going to mean sharing entrees sometimes, or there was a Lean Plate Club member who lost actually 67 pounds, and she ate out 5 times a week and loved to eat out. And one of the things she did is when she ordered her meal, she ordered the little takeout carton. And as soon as the food arrived, she put half of it into that carton and put it aside and took it home for a later meal. So, you know, those are some of the things that we're going to have to do, or split entrees, or order appetizers and leave bigger tips, I guess, for the waiters and waitresses. But, and in terms of activity, we've seen, I have a computer program that you can do a test trial of, and it's called Stretch Time, and it will pop up on your screen and remind you every hour to get up and stretch and move a little bit. Or some people set timers and they get up and they just do a 5-minute walk around their office. Or we've had Lean Plate Club members who will meet in the afternoon and they'll climb up 10 stories, you know, together in their building and climb down again. And so it's these, because you don't have to have huge blocks of activity, but you have to have continuous activity throughout the day to really help continue to burn those calories, just like you probably walked in Europe a lot, or wherever it was that that you were based.
Okay, let's talk with someone in Chicago. This is line 4. Hello.
Thank you. I was wondering how you come down on the view of raw food as opposed to cooked food in maintenance and health and weight loss.
Well, you know, raw food is a great part of a diet, but you know, I know that there's a whole raw food movement, and I think that the final research or studies of whether that's absolutely the way to go are not in yet. But clearly, you get a lot of good nutrients when you do go with raw fruit and vegetables or different, you know, kinds of things. Raw, obviously, we know that raw seafood is, and I know a lot of people eat sushi. And that can be fine, but there, you know, you want to be careful because there can. I used to be a fan of oysters on the half shell until I went to one too many microbiology meetings and I realized what the results could be of that. So you know, it's finding, and obviously I know in some cultures there is steak tartare or even lamb tartare. I don't think that many microbiologists these days would recommend that. But it really seems, as from where I sit, as I talk to all these experts, that it's moderation. It's finding what the foods that you like that you will stay with for a long time. And if that includes some raw foods, that's fantastic. But if you're the kind of person who thinks that fire was intended to help us cook our food, then you probably want to have more of your food cooked. For the most part, there aren't huge differences in nutrients. And so far, the evidence says that, you know, cooking is a good thing.
Well, the thing is, raw foods are sort of go strong on the matter of enzymes that are still in the food that are alive and healthy and biologically enhancing, rather than food that's been so cooked that it's devitalized.
Right, and absolutely, you can get food that is cooked to death and has very little left. And you remind me also that one of the great things to add to your life, and I've just done a recent column on this, and it's parts of this are also in the book, but it's the probiotics, which are the kind of healthy bacteria that you can find in yogurt, in blue cheese, in tempeh, which is a soy product, in all kinds of fermented foods, and that clearly. is some healthy bacteria that the evidence is really pointing and suggesting that it's really important for good digestion and probably a whole lot of other things.
Thank you. One last point. Some time ago, I read a book called Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, in which they advocated principles of proper food combining, such as you may want to call proper, and that is to not eat starch with protein in terms of a weight loss program. So the point being, you can eat all the protein you want with your vegetables, but if you want to eat starch, eat the starch with the vegetables, but no protein, that is of a meat or other type. Because the difference is, in terms of alkaline and acidity, our digestive processes derive energy from the food if it's properly combined, or if it's not, the food just lays there and is waiting for the next meal to push it through, partially undigested and so forth. So I found their advice on proper food combining to be very helpful in that respect.
It's an interesting theory. I have to tell you, and I'm glad if it works for you, then that's terrific. But I have to tell you that there is not strong scientific evidence to support that. But, you know, again, and that's one of the things that we really that this book is really encouraging people, that find what works best for you. That's also obviously safe. And because it's those habits rather than one person telling you exactly what you should do. It's those habits that you help develop for yourself that are going to be the ones that are most likely to stick with you long term. That's fantastic. But you should know, I know of no study that has examined that, and that would be a very, very expensive study to do. But it's an interesting theory, and I'm glad that it works for you.
We have about 5 minutes left. We have another caller here, and our guest is Sally Squires. She is a nutritionist and a columnist for The Washington Post. She's a health reporter for The Post. She has a syndicated column that she deals with nutritional issues, including trying to help people get to a healthy weight. If you want to take a look at the website, it's the Lean Plate Club. That's leanplateclub.com, and there's a lot of information there about diet and nutrition. And the book that we have here talked about, too, it's just recently out. It's Secrets of the Lean Plate Club, and it's published by St. Martin's Press. And we have somebody else here. 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And then we have about 5 minutes left, and somebody wants to call in here fairly quick. I'm sure we can get one or two more calls in. Let me ask you another thing that, again, I think that confuses people, and that's sugar.
Yes.
And where different forms of sugar and where it comes from. And I think people have this idea that white stuff, granular stuff that's on the bowl there is not good. But if you have honey, well, that's okay. Or if you eat a piece of fruit, well, that's okay. And I think some nutritionists say, well, now look, it's sort of all the same. It's real. It may be the form is slightly different in your body, takes it in slightly different. If you include some fiber, it will slow down its absorption. But at the bottom line, I think a lot of people say, look, sugar, sugar. And that's, again, something that people find really confusing.
They do find it really confusing. And there are, you're right, that there's table sugar and then there's the honey, and people do somehow have the sense that honey is better. And honey does come with, it does seem to have a slightly lower glycemic index, which is how much your blood sugar raises if you just eat pure honey versus just pure sugar. So there might be a little bit of an advantage in there, maybe some things related to allergies that may be helpful with honey. That's kind of unfolding. But in terms of fruit really is a great way to get your whatever sugar you want for the day, because you are getting it with, it comes packaged in a nice package that includes other phytonutrients and fiber. And if you're eating the skin, you'll be getting some other things. But where fruit juice fruit juice is the exception to that because it's usually highly concentrated. So the latest dietary guidelines suggest to try to reach for whole fruit first because of the how condensed in calories and also more condensed in sugar that juice generally is. And sometimes juice, so-called juice products, also have a lot of added sugar. So you're even getting more in the package. But having said that, I think you can fit sugar in small ways. And it may be that, for example, if you make a smoothie, which is a concoction of yogurt and fruit and different things, that you are getting sugars in that from the fruit as well as from the dairy products, which is lactose. But that sugar does not raise blood sugar the way that more processed sugars do. And it's not a sweet sugar. So there's kind of a whole range of things, and that's something else that people will find in Secrets of the Lean Plate Club. But it's, again, finding that middle ground, because I'd hate to tell people that they can't ever put a teaspoon of sugar in their iced tea with a little bit of mint and lemon and, you know, really savor that flavor, or that they can't, you know, put a little bit of honey in their green tea, or, you know, it's again, just kind of finding that little balance.
Yeah. Well, and I invited callers and I suddenly got a whole bunch, and I don't think we're going to be able to take all of them. We'll try and do at least one. Someone here first in line is on a cell phone, and it's line one. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have fibromyalgia and find it difficult to lose weight because my connective tissue and muscles don't work very effectively. Is there any advice for people in my situation?
I'm sorry to hear that. I know that can be a very difficult condition to deal with. I don't know if you've done. Do you ever do any swimming? Is that a good way for you to kind of take some of the pressure?
Well, my doctor said swimming is not good for people with fibromyalgia.
Well, you might want to check with your doctor again about that. And you might go, the National Institutes of Health has a very good website that will give you information about fibromyalgia. You could also ask for a referral to a physical therapist who specializes in this, and they might just get you started. The one thing that I have found is that, as I've talked to various experts, that no matter what your medical condition, no matter what your age, that it really is very clear that exercise, whether you're walking or you're doing really intensive things, that exercise helps virtually every condition that is out there and people at every age, but you have to find the right one for you. So I would go back to your doctor and ask again what you can do and if you could get a referral to a physical therapist and get online at the National Institutes of Health. Again, it's your tax dollars at work. There's a whole variety of stuff there about fibromyalgia, and I'll bet you'll find some good resources.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
You're
well,
welcome.
There we've got to finish with our thanks to our guest, Sally Squire. She's health reporter for The Washington Post. If you want, you can look at the book. It's Secrets of the Lean Plate Club, published by St. Martin's Press. And they also do have a website with lots of good nutrition information on there, which is leanplateclub.com. We want to say also thanks to the folks here at The Washington Post and Shawnee George in particular for getting the link here set up with Sally. And Sally, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being with you.